Oh, hello.
Who's gonna drive you home tonight? Well, you're already there. Can't go on thinking nothing's wrong. All right, did you see the meme that's like, and they all got quiet and nestled into their houses and had peace with their blood? It's like this like super saccharine meme about like using this time of quarantine to really just enjoy what you have. Did you see that one?
I did not, no.
Oh, it makes me want to tear off my skin and eat it. And there's like a retaliatory meme going around that's like, and the rich people bunkered in while the poor people schlepped out in danger to work and the healthcare workers put their life on the line. Making fun of it. So I'm grateful to see both yoga teachers sharing the optimism and the realness of the situation. Welcome to love in the time of corona virus. How are you doing?
I don't know how you could be this awake and alert at this
It's because I have enough serotonin this morning. I have a cup of
Fabulous.
coffee. I slept at least 3 hours.
Oh, great. I overslept for this call, for
You
this
needed it.
recording session. I was
You.
awoken by the dulcet tones of Kate Robinson saying,
This is.
"Where the fuck are you?"
Oh my God, that's right. And it was a little gravelly, too. So here's what I've realized I need to install in your home:
Okay.
a baby monitor. That way, I can just check on you. And, like, if you're having some fun, you can just, put a scarf over it. But I need to know that everything is all right because it worries me. And that's really what we should all be doing for each other, is installing cameras.
And getting a festive scarf to cover with. It must be festive.
On the first day of coronavirus, my true love gave to me a long distance HD camera inside a teddy bear. Nothing says love like surveillance. So you are already teaching your classes
Yes.
live and online. I
Yes.
took that class.
You did.
It was wonderful.
Oh, good.
Oh, here's time for a plug, real quick. If
Oh,
you'd
yes.
like, you can practice with both of us.
Through Down Under Yoga, by going to downunderyoga.com/ down under at home with dashes in between those words. I'll put the link in the description.
And don't worry, it is live, so it's
Yeah.
that.
And it's interesting, I think people are doing like taking very different approaches. But I really like doing it the way that I did with
Yeah, let's
mostly.
talk about that. I was actually having a serious reflection on like the way you did it to me was great. It was you like showed some demo things when you need to, but mostly you just sat and spoke.
Yeah. And I mean, I totally, and I got messages saying, how people really valued the fact that I was able to give instruction. And then other people who say like that even though they didn't have their camera on, it actually gave them a whole other level of permission to modify and do this, that, or the other thing, and were really happy with the class because of that. So I think it's interesting. If nobody had their camera on, it would be very hard for me to teach. But if there's enough folks that I can like see, because so much of it is just timing of like knowing when people are trying to figure out in this digital medium, like, okay, are people a little restless here? Okay, I'm going to take them on to the next thing. Or are people really like down for the count? And do I need to just kind of let them lie here for another 5 minutes?
This is tricky because there's part of me that wants to, like, my experience of that was like, I didn't want to see what other people were doing. And as a teacher, there's part of me that's like, if you want me to see, turn the camera on. And then there's part of me that's like, yeah, you don't have to. Like,
I think it does need to be an option. I just am sort of being really honest with folks when they come on, being like, this will go way better if at least some of you turn your camera on. And then that way if I can see some of you and instruct some of you, that will make it a much more positive experience for those people that aren't comfortable turning the camera on or aren't in a place where they can turn the camera on. But I think overall it went fine. It was so fascinating to me that, like, it still felt like, when you're teaching a class, like, you're not doing the class physically, but there's some part of your, like, mental and emotional capacity that has essentially just done the class by leading it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Which might be confusing for people who don't teach, but it's like every other part of your body almost went through the practice except your actual physical body. physicality. And so that same, like, I felt the same way after teaching 22 people online that I did after teaching, however many people were in the 22 people, in person. And so that was interesting.
I've been thinking about, like, I got the sense that it was like, oh, this work. You know what I mean? This is just as much adrenaline as being there in person. And like the technical component initially, in my experience doing this kind of thing is like, is everything going to work? Is everything okay? Yeah. But it certainly is not like a walk in the park.
Yeah.
But I did notice some teachers are setting up to practice the whole thing. And yes. I'd really like to take a moment and tell people not to do that. It's not my business. You teach how you want to teach. But I'm excited that we get to have this conversation now.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't have this conversation before because it wasn't really relevant yet.
Yeah.
Now it's urgently relevant. So, it'll be a new part. It'll be a new section in teacher trainings now. But I think teaching a class that you yourself are taking, and like I'm thinking about this because one of the classes I'm going to be teaching online is heated flow, which first of all, it's just going to be me next to an oven open. It's just going to be called Sylvia Plath Funkin' Flow. I don't plan on doing... I don't plan on teaching by having people watch me do 5 sanés. First of all, I don't teach 5 sanés, but yes. I cannot teach and do that vigorous a practice and have either of those things come out well.
Yeah.
First of all, if you want me to get hurt, great. And that's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about these teachers that are setting up, like, I am going to do these classes... a demo, essentially all of a sudden you're demoing the entire freaking class.
Yeah.
And
as opposed to like one or two things.
Yeah. I think people are going to get hurt and I'm a little, a little nervous about that.
I did rig a better second camera angle so that I don't have to tilt my computer.
Oh, You know, the other thing is the economic, you can see the absolute strata of how people live in a way that is.
Yes.
I mean, I have a home.
Yeah.
You know, I love my home and I am grateful for it. And it, let me just tell you, it doesn't look like a lot of the other yoga teachers. And part of me is like, I've gotten a peek inside and I'm like, who the fuck are you blowing to live there?
Yeah.
Oh, this is clearly not your sole source of okay.
Yeah.
Now I can see why it's so spacious and well lit. And then I'm like, oh, check in, Kate, don't be judgy. And it's, I just think that when you go online as a cohort of teachers with this kind of offering, it's interesting because, you know, sort of there's a call to action for professionalism and to make sure the aesthetics of the setup are brand, are in line with brand, you know, and then none of this is said explicitly. This is just...
Yeah, it's just...
me thinking out loud. But... You know, make sure you have a kind of clean space and this, and then it's tranquil and let them have a peek into your life. But the truth of the matter is my life isn't clean and my life isn't tranquil. So if they want an actual peek into my life, it's not going to be what they see in class because I'm going to try to create a corner that is less chaotic.
Yeah.
I mean, for me setting up with the filth around me and the explosion of my beautiful life.
I'm just like envisioning the setup now. So it's you in front of your oven. The oven is open. Yes. You're resting your coffee on the oven door. You have your class notes on the oven door.
Yeah. This is a class note. Yeah. No, there's no notes. Come now.
Come now.
Coffee. This is like my totally full garbage.
Yes.
my like half naked, very dirty daughter walks by. It's that scene from Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Yes. Yes. I almost watched that last night and then I opted to watch The Hours, which may have been a mistake.
I started watching Outbreak.
Why?
Because I've got issues. But then I switched over to Doomsday Preppers, which I cannot recommend highly enough.
Okay.
These are people that spend like upwards of $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to like survive theoretical disasters.
Sure.
It's great. And guess what? It's all like, for the most part, anxious white dudes.
Yep.
It's all about control. So are you prepping? What have you done to prep?
For class?
No. For the, you know.
For the apocalypse?
Yes, for the apocalypse, not for your yoga class.
A little bit. I mean, I'm probably good for food for the next week. If not a little bit longer. Yesterday I called in a bunch of like medication stuff to pick up some extra. Just in case.
That's smart.
Not that I think, it from the looks of it, the lockdowns that have been imposed still allow you to go out for food and medicine. So it might get more severe than that, but it looks like that would be the first thing to happen. So I'm not too worried. But I don't have some like endless supply because also when I go to the store and like pick up something, I just don't want to be that person that grabs
the last.
But it's just like, nope, this is the amount of paper towels that I'll need and it will last me for a week or two. I don't need
the last pineapple scented enema kit. That's what I need. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry. Pine scented. I've been thinking about just how scary this is going to be financially for so many people that I know and love. Basically everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is like a real thinning of the veil. Isn't that the actual translation of apocalypse? Just means the lifting of the veil. Let's look it up.
We haven't done a word of the day in so long.
oh my gosh, we really haven't.
The word of the day is apocalypse.
Apocalypse. I want the origin. Everybody gives me definitions, and you know what? That's not useful. Origin is the definition. Don't you understand? I think it means... I have to say that one of the things I'm most concerned about is a order in place where the government comes out and tells us we can't leave our house. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. That's
where I mean, if I really wanted to get like paranoid, inflammatory.
I mean, I think that's coming. I just think it's going to be the shelter in place orders have still made allowances for food, medicine, and money.
So
and doctors.
I'm up against an interesting situation too, and I think about all the people out there who have kids and who maybe don't live with their, you know, who aren't in traditional families, and moving a kid between locations is something that I'm kind of aware of right now. Okay, so apocalypse is a Greek word meaning revelation, an unveiling or unfolding of things not previously known and which could not be known apart from the unveiling. That's what apocalypse means. That is the origin, the Greek origin. Beautiful. Let me read that again. Apocalypse is a Greek word meaning revelation, an unveiling or unfolding of things not previously known and which could not be known apart from the unveiling. So yeah, I think this is an apocalypse. The beautiful lifting of the veil is everybody is, in my estimation, reviewing the infrastructures, large and small, the microstructures, the infrastructures, totally. The macrostructures of their life that have propped up their sense of awareness in the world. And when we're forced into a stop, we're forced into sort of an exciting reflection. And anytime there is a stop, there is a hit of the reset button. And I am acutely aware of the fact that whenever there is tragedy, discomfort, suffering, there is a huge opportunity to change.
Yes.
To change, you must destroy. And there are things that are getting destroyed now. And I'm not saying that this is good or easy. I'm just saying it's possible. So on the other side of this, we get to renegotiate how and who we are in the world collectively. Yeah. You know, I am excited to see how this fleshes out politically if we don't go into emergency nation state.
Yeah.
You know, like, not nation state, but help me out. If we don't go into a military state.
Totally.
So many chins. Sorry, I just got hypnotized by my by the melting candle that is my face.
The difficult thing is that, like, I was talking about this with Fez last night off the recording, that I am someone who, like, in order to not freak out in the present moment, I have to have not, like, a concrete long-term plan that I am going to fall to pieces over if it shifts, but a... like some sketch of a long-term plan. And sitting with that unknown is challenging. It makes, you know, there's this interesting thing where it also then makes practicing with that really kind of simple. Like there's nothing fancy going on in how I'm practicing nowadays. which is great because then I don't feel the impetus to teach anything fancy with all of the, like, in the midst of all of this new technology. Like, what I taught yesterday was pretty bare bones.
Yeah, but it felt full. That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting reflection, because like life is so full right now that your practice doesn't need to be. And that's why I'm looking at the teachers with these setups and I'm like, are you guys about to do like really complicated quick moving vinyasas with like choreographed fucking shit? And the answer is yeah, some of them are, because that's their comfort and that will bring comfort to other people. So great. Some people are just going to like teach as if nothing's happening in terms of the effects on the body.
Yeah.
You know, and I plan on teaching in a, I plan on teaching in like a bikini, which
great.
If you know me is going to be real exciting and upsetting. And no, I mean, I'm just saying like I'm not interested in pretending. And I thought your class didn't pretend.
Oh, thank you.
Does that make sense? It was performance free.
Yeah. I was also in the like tiny sliver of room that I have in my bedroom. What y'all didn't see is the like mountain of shit that was on my bed behind the laptop setup that I did not have time to clean. So I was just like,
throw it behind the laptop. So I looked into some interesting things that you can do on Zoom, where you can, if you some computers let you create a backdrop behind
you. Yes, like I can do that.
I have to update my
computer. My computer doesn't meet the requirements for such a thing. I just try to turn it on.
Yeah, you need a green screen. So part of me is like, do I get a No, I'm not gonna get a green screen. I'm gonna clean my room like an adult. But yes, I did look for technical solutions to avoid cleaning my room. Shame though. You know, I mean, I think about the things that are most associated with So this is the intersection of body shame, economic shame, and how it can manifest in the yoga community. When I think about what's coming up for me about anxiety around teaching, and one of the things is like, okay, so if my whole online class is me practicing, then it's my body that they're looking at. Like it's this product of like watch, Kate practice. And that to me is suspect.
Yes.
And honestly, if you're a teacher out there just doing that, like watch my body as I practice, what are you doing?
Well, not just from a like, what's the word I'm looking for? From the standpoint you're talking about, but like from a simple pedagogical standpoint, like they can't, in most poses, they are not going to be able to see you.
Yeah, because if they're focusing on what they're in, why would you want them craning their neck to look up?
Yeah.
Like, stop, do a demo if you need to, and then sit back down.
And watch them execute. And
watch them.
Yeah.
Yes. And no, I don't think that's going to be like widely happening. I'm being critical. That is not an apology. And you know, the other part of it, so is we're consuming someone else's practice at that point. It's a visual consumption of the teacher's practice, a visual consumption of the teacher's body. And then there's this other layer of a visual consumption of the teacher's space.
Yes.
So, you know, there was part of me that yesterday was a beautiful day and I was thinking, maybe I'll take my laptop outside and I'll try to tether, you know, and I'll just be outside.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, that might be really distracting. And then I thought, you know, it is privilege that allows you to look around at your space and say, yeah, I have something that's publicly consumable.
Yeah.
And so again, there is body shaming and the opportunities for sort of like almost economic or aesthetic shaming.
I spent way more headspace than brain space than I would ever want to on the setting up of the space for teaching. Like, I just noticed that was, like, in many ways just as big, if not bigger, because it was the first time doing it, than I would have necessarily have liked. And, you know, then I thought, okay, well, maybe I just go to the studio. And then I was like, you know what? The whole purpose of this
is to not go out.
Not go out. And, like, if we're meant to be, you know, if we're meant to be providing, even in the, like, most minuscule meaning of the word, some sort of leadership, at least within the context of yoga, like, we got to do it from a bedroom. We got to do it from, like, I understand that still people have to go into work, but, like, we're all still financially fucked, but at least I have I do have the capacity to stay here and do it, so I might as well just stay here and do it, because that is honestly what feels like the right thing.
Yes, and I mean, that's what the government must be right. But, you know, that's what's being asked for by the
medical professionals. Well, it's different. I mean, exactly. It's being asked for by the medical professionals. It's being asked for by the governors more so than the
exactly.
You know, and, you know, though I have been seeing some things from, like, there's a few epidemiologists on my scroll feed, whatever you call it. And one who's very adamant that if we had widespread testing, that we wouldn't need to shut everything down the way we're shutting it down. Like, we would still need to restrict, but we could be smart about it if we had enough to, like, test folks regularly, until there was a vaccine in place. And I don't know how reliable that is. I don't know, like, but because there's no testing, there's no choice but to shut it down. And I think as you know, not everyone's going to be able to do that. And so those of us who can should, and, you know, I just try to, although it's really gross outside today.
It is.
Try to get outside for even just a little stroll around the block so I don't lose my mind.
You know, this works for people that have access to internet and computers.
Yes.
And
there are I don't know which companies are doing it, but I did see a bunch offering to get internet set up for folks, like higher speed internet set up for folks who might need it. Yeah, it's a weird time. No one knows what's happening. And it's like, I feel like I am just in this constant oscillation between, like, sadness and rage. And, like, which one gets the gas is almost outside of my control at this point.
Which wolf do you feed? You can only feed one wolf.
I fucking hate that. What is that?
How Which would you... wolf are you gonna feed? Why am I using that accent?
That's, I don't know.
Classist. Everything's classist right now. We're all fucked. I am not scared because I have, like, other scarier things on the horizon.
Yeah.
But maybe I should be. My Nana is in assisted living and she's on the second floor. So I need to, like, go get a ladder and climb up to her window and see her. And I don't.
That'll go over well.
I don't know if that's going to go over well. I might just scare Nana. Like,
you might just give her.
I don't. Come on. Like, I wanted to have, like, a nice emotional connection with her and instead I scare the shit out of her. I am, you know, and they're saying that, you know, now children under five are a little more vulnerable than we thought they were. So not only are they just like vectors and petri dishes passing it on to asymptomatic adults, but some of them are, you know, so it's an interesting unfolding. Yeah. And then to listen to some people like be totally suspicious that the whole thing's happening at all is like, oh, geez.
Yeah. Well, I think with people, it's hard to parse through the information, so I can have some compassion for that. And then when people panic and say, there's been like 1,000, you know, more cases today, I was like, no, it's not like 1,000 people got infected today. It's that 1,000 people got tested positive today. There's way more cases out there than we even know. And you know, you have to consume this information intelligently. And by the way, the New York Times, the Globe, and the Washington Post to still have that paywall up is just fucking criminal. I'm sorry. Like, people are like clicking through the links to get information on the virus, and then they get met with the paywall. And it's yep. just like, no, just pull the paywall down and put something up explaining that, you know, at least for that content that you don't have to, that yes. you don't have to pay. That is technologically within their realm. But then sometimes I think, but maybe it's really good that I can't read all those articles in one day.
Yeah. Boston Globe even had that for, I think they fixed it, but there was like, the governor was like giving an emergency thing and there was
behind the paywall. Yeah. I still got blocked on a Globe site the other day too. And I thought that they were taking that down, but you know, who knows? We should maybe do a top 10 things to do while you're at home.
God, number one
podcast.
Oh, look at this beautiful yellow bird. Oh, hi guys. I get why prisoners in isolation might feel really excited about seeing a bird in a window. No, I don't get that. That's unfair. I've gotten excited about the birds at my window lately. I'm worried about, that's the other thing I'm really worried about, is I'm worried about people people incarcerated right now. So add onto my list of people that are.
Yeah.
Anybody that's in an institution of any sort.
Yeah.
You know, this is particularly scary and uncomfortable for. All right, top 10 things to do.
I'm going to do the first one.
Okay.
Find a album. Yes, not a single, but like a whole album that you want to listen to or that you haven't listened to in a while. Get a couple of blankets and bolsters if you have them. Set yourself up to lie down on the floor, put on some headphones or not. And listen to the album all the way through, start to finish.
Oh, I understand the like value of that, because albums are.
Do you want to explain designed... to the folks what an album is?
No. This is what's interesting. It's like album is a conception. You know, it's like a, right yeah, now yeah. the way we consume music is like one poem out of a book of poetry. You know,
yes,
they're meant in relation to each other. There's a narrative arc often
yes.
between them, and they are meant to be part of a larger whole. So if you have the time to put on a whole album and to listen to the songs in relation to each other, it really is a beautiful exercise in remembering.
I did it yesterday with the Erykah Badu album, Mama's Gun, which I hadn't listened to in a really long time.
Okay, so here's my thing to do. So we're at two. Thing number two.
Yeah.
Take a shower. Honestly, not because you're filthy or wrong.
I think Kate's just talking to me right now. No, I'm actually, got a subtle shade.
No. Listen, when things are thrown off for me, the basics go to hell. Yeah. So for me, like, this is so much information that I'm sharing, but I there's got to be other people that can relate with this. When things are hard for me, when it starts to become like a struggle to shower or like to make the time and space to give myself permission to get in the shower. And it's always more complicated, I think, when there's like tiny people depending on you and you're worried for their safety while you shower, that adds like a new layer of fear. But when things get rough and scary, I tend to withdraw from self-care activities, like basic self-care things. And that's part of like my trauma and stuff I'm working through. So for me right now, making sure that I get my ass in the shower is a way to create normalcy and to set the bar for like, I still say to yourself, no matter what's going on, you're still worthy of care and comfort.
Yes.
And showers are not comfortable, you know, for everybody, but like, what are you doing?
I'm just taking a photograph for promotional purposes.
Okay. So for me, it's shower. That's thing. Number that's two. The, all right. Okay. Okay. Now you go. What's three?
Okay. Three.
I have lovely shoulders. I'm
discovering. You do have lovely shoulders. Three is look at Kate's shoulders. I'm actually putting that down. Currently available at downunderyoga.com.
I will be wearing a bandeau top. No, that's not. You are not putting down number three. Yes. Give me a real number three.
Okay, fine. I'm going to put that down as a bonus. That's your bonus. Number three, was it?
So what do we got so far? Listen to an album and shower.
Yes, and shower. which made me late for the podcast today, have been, for the first time in who knows how long, not turning my alarms on.
That's wonderful.
No alarms, if possible. I wake up without them around like 8:30 anyway, so it's not like... okay, so that's number three.
Okay, number four. Brush your teeth.
Yes.
Brush your teeth. Because teeth brushing for me is like a, hey, I'm still here. I woke up. I'm alive. If everything else sucks, I have a clean mouth. I'm serious.
Yes, you do. You have a clean mouth.
Look, I go back to basics. I go back to, you know. Okay, so what do we got?
We got what's next? Album, shower, no alarms, brush your teeth. If you can, make sure to FaceTime, Skype, Zoom with a friend.
Check in on the baby monitor you installed in your house.
Exactly. Yes. FaceTime or check on your surveillance cams.
Okay.
Because one thing that I actually wanted to say about the public classes, the online classes that sort of links in with this, is I think there is something interesting about the fact that under normal circumstances, the online thing might feel disjointed, but because everyone is so disconnected, even the like grid of screens of at least seeing some humans is like, makes that time even more valuable. And I also think it's important that while everyone's leveraging this technology for business, that it's also really important that we leverage it to just be like, hey, are you okay? Because I feel like everybody is going through, like, none of my friends have like a good day every day. It's like everyone's at different states of unrest with this whole thing. Like, there are some people that are going to be having a good day, and if they're having a good day, then it
somebody else is having it.
Yeah.
And you know, this might be long. This might not just be this. Yeah. You know, there's part of me that's like, oh, this is just this week, right?
No.
Yes.
This might be like, so I'm sort of putting on my blinders to that in a just like self-preservation way.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my tip. Make your bed. And one of my favorite things that I have found as a way to help my mental health is to make my bed. And I don't do like a big fancy, you know, medical corners thing. But when I make my bed, I tell myself I am worthy of climbing into something comfortable at night. And it's also an act of optimism that all I have to do is make it to the pillow. Yeah. And that's like an old AA thing. Like, all you got to do is get to the pillow. That's it. Mm-hmm. And when I climb into bed at night in a made bed, I do have a moment of, oh, ooh, you know, and so if it's not a habit that you already have, experiment with it, because it also sends the signal that like, okay, if you need to rest, be conscious about it. You don't have to like, don't stay in bed all day, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even if you're living in a one room studio, if you need, you know, if you need nap time, take nap time, but you'll have to peel back the covers and be conscious about it. Or you have that opportunity. It also sends a signal like, okay, I'm up. The day has started. Yes. I am going to do what I do. And it sort of peels back that liminal, like, I'm just going to have morning until 5 p.m.
Yes. Yeah.
That can happen when you work from home or you're just like depressed. But
yeah,
like that,
exactly.
Both of which I'm familiar with. So make your bed.
Okay. Seven is do analog things, which could include taking a walk without your headphones in, could include reading a book. Would you like to explain to our listeners what a book is?
It's really interesting. So imagine, if you will, that there are words, and those words are on paper. And those pieces of paper are bound together in such a way that when you read the words from left to right, top to bottom, they tell you a little story.
Yes.
And you know what? If you want to buy a book, buy a book. Get it from your local independent bookstore. A lot of them are doing free shipping right now. So if you can afford to buy a book, get it from your local independent bookstore.
And if you
can't afford it,
there is, I don't know how this technology works because I've never done it, but there is some way, right, to get books from the library digitally.
Yes, there is.
So that obviously you won't have like a bound book in front of you, but it's next best thing. Okay, so do analog things, book, walk, etc. What's number eight?
Number eight is write a list. Don't worry, I'm not about to tell you to write a fucking gratitude list. But write a gratitude list. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, take out an actual piece of paper and write down what it is that you need to do for the day, like your to-do list, and make it reasonable. And then, you know, any other sort of, like, I find that when you're in the middle of a paradigm shift, that setting new novel goals can be sort of a useful act of optimism.
Yeah.
Is saying that on the other side of this, I will have done X, Y, and Z. So for example, making sure if a goal is to learn a new language, on that list that you write, you know, 10 minutes of listening to, you know, Spanish telenovelas, whatever, make them small, achievable little goals, have it down on a piece of paper, cross them off when you're done. I think that can just be really nice for mental health things. Okay, so you make your list. And really, by the way, what I've just described is journaling.
Yes.
Journal, right.
Journal.
Like when I don't have I consider myself a writer. That's what I went to school for. I love writing. But sometimes, my mental health I don't want to pathologize it, but sometimes I can't write the way that I want to.
Sure.
So when I'm in that space, writing lists, bullet points actually leads to poems and articles. So just set the bar really low with like bullet pointed lists and you'll be surprised what that can produce.
Yeah. Number 9, which I actually think should probably be number 10, but I'll say it as number 9 and maybe I'll switch it when I put it in the show notes. Practice. Like, really, especially since most of us are teaching less, like, take that as an opportunity if you are a teacher. If not, this doesn't, it still applies, but it's a really interesting exercise in forced self-practice. And as much as I love to see everybody in classes and love to see everybody participating in all of the online yoga that's available, there is part of me that's like, utilize those resources, yes, and take advantage of this time to try and practice on your own. And as simple a way as lying down on the mat or sitting on the cushion and saying, how do I feel right now? How do I want to feel right now? Can I use what skills that I have in terms of asana, meditation, etc., to move myself even just like incrementally towards a sense of sanity or okayness or, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. So that's,
I like that.
Yeah.
For number 10, set the bar lower.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is a call to humans, to parents, to people working in impossible situations right now. Set the bar lower for yourself. A victory might be that you got up and showered. You did one thing on this list. That's enough. That's okay. Do not add self-flagellation to your list of things to do during this.
Yes.
Like, do not add financial shame, aesthetic shame, weight shame. Like I've seen so many memes flying around about like, oh, I'm going to come out of this 20 pounds heavier. Okay.
Great.
Okay. my point is all we have to do is kind of allow the veil to be lifted and to take care of ourselves during this quote unquote apocalypse so that we can see what is revealed on the other side and come out of this alive.
Yes.
Alive, not in the dramatic sense, but in the very dramatic sense, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually alive. We come out awake.
Yes.
So lower the fucking bar because we need you. And we need you not to beat yourself up. So that might mean you do a little less, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And for parents out there, set the bar low on your parenting. Let the honestly, like, you keep that kid as, you keep the kid fed and alive, and maybe you get outside once a day. That's a fucking win.
Yes.
You do not, and by the way, all my homeschoolers out there, you guys are rock stars, but look to your homeschooler friends that are online that do this electively. Homeschooling does not have to be linear and rigid and like it is in regular school. Fuck that. This is actually a time to like be with your kids and teach them how to cook and show them finances and teach them about numbers and real life stuff. Let it be organic and natural. And I have taken a far left turn down this, but my point is set the bar lower.
Not that you ever take left turns during this.
Old left turn Robinson's at it again. Did you write down all of those points?
I did. And I also wrote down 11. Check out Kate Shoulders, currently available.
did we say get outside as one of those points?
Yes, that was in the do analog things.
Oh, great. Yes. Great. This is a good list. I'm proud of us.
This is the most like organized, unorganized, unrolled podcast that we've ever done.
Ryan, this is our time to shine, man.
And you do have a lovely halo over your...
And then that's a halo. That's a halo. I think that's how that song goes. I don't know.
Okay, well, I think this has
been unrolled.
This has been unrolled. As I said at the end of last week's episode, we do have the availability online now to get access to the full archive. So if you're really bored, you can dive down the rabbit hole and see the things that Kate and I said 4 years ago. And that is available on my website, ryanyoga.com. If for any reason you can't afford any of those options, or you feel like that's going to be too much to give, but you really want access to the archive and you really want access to some of the classes up there, just shoot me an email and we'll figure it out. This is a time for extenuating circumstances for all of us. So
shoot us an email if there's anything you want to see us covered. We're probably going to be recording, at a regular clip because, this is what we're built for. But anything you want us to tackle or cover, talk about, any questions you have, any shit you want to throw our way, throw it. We're listening.
Just throw that shit. Just throw it. You just throw it right over.
All over our faces.
this got weird really fast.
I know.
Okay. Bye.